You're listening to a Rhino.com podcast. Yes, you are.
Any song that begins with a chorus. And could you believe those drums? This record was cut in the early 60s. Hey, it's Bob Lefsetz for the RhinoCast. So, faithful listeners know that I do these back exercises to prevent inflammation of my herniated disc. I'll stick anti-inflammatories. Working pretty well. We're just sitting here talking in the studio. Gonna go skiing, so I guess, you know, it does it. But I listen to music, and I have a lot of varieties of things. I have iPods. One amazing thing about an iPod, it'll only play what you know. And I have this great Sonos system controlled by my iPod Touch. That's a podcast unto itself. But usually I want something more intimate. I have something called a Slacker Radio. Bear with me here because you're going to be interested in this. One of the guys who funded XM Radio, he's got involved with a new company, Slacker Radio. I'd read about it. What a terrible name. And he kept emailing me about it. Could he send me a radio? Sure, send me a radio. So I get the radio, and it sits on my table for months, and then the App Store, which is a whole other podcast, starts going wild, okay, and I keep reading about this app and that app. I download an app to control my Sonos system, and Lord only knows why, I am lying on my bed in a bad mood thinking about the recession, and I say, oh, I remember, because the funny thing, all the little kids have iPhones. They always save up for their own money. My friend Jim, his 11-year-old, oh, I saved up for my own money for an iPhone. Of course, who's paying the extra $30 a month for data? Dad. But she showed me Labyrinth. Do you remember that old wooden game? I never had one until I was an adult. Somebody gave me one for my birthday. It was too expensive growing up. You know, you have your two wheels on either side, and you try to make the ball go past all the holes to the end. Fascinating. There's an app for that. And I remember this as I'm lying on my bed, and I download the app wirelessly. Very cool. And I play the free Labyrinth game because I don't know if I'm really into it. I got some credit on the iTunes store, but I don't want to buy it. And I start going to the App Store in different categories. They have music. And I see an app for Slacker, and I remember getting all the emails about it. And so I put on the Slacker Radio, and it's cool. What is Slacker Radio? Slacker Radio, on some level, is like satellite radio, and there's a plethora of program channels, but it's also like Pandora or Last FM. I'm not a big fan of Pandora. I think they're really only in it for the money, and whenever I try to build a station, the stuff they come up with is so left field, makes me insane. They have a feature that's the same on Slacker Radio, but you get to fine-tune with four categories. Let's say you create, you know, a channel. I created Beatles channels because in radio they can, you know, nothing's banned. You create a Beatles channel or a Doobie Brothers channel or a Jackson Browne channel, all of which are channels that I have, a Bonnie Raitt channel. I know it makes me look like 100 years old, but I'm half that. And you can fine-tune how much you want it obscure, how much you want it to go from the norm. It's fascinating. Now, I have a free account, so I can forward ad infinitum, which sometimes you can't lock into anything because, you know, you always want to hear what's next. The average person, it's like Pandora. You can fast forward three times an hour. If you switch stations, you get another three times. But I started playing this on my iPod Touch. I got addicted. The reason I'm mentioning is even if you don't have an iPod Touch, you can get a free account. Go to, I think it's slacker.com. You can use Google. It's really fun to play with. And then I started loading up the actual Slacker Radio because when I left home, I wanted to listen to it. So all your stations are downloaded wirelessly to this device. And I'm always fascinated what songs come up. And I'm listening to the Beatles channel, okay? And I hear that song, Ronnie, by the Four Seasons. And my memory starts going wild. Ronnie was one of the later hits. I see here, you know, I got the Joel Whitburn book. It peaked in the spring of 1964. The first big hit was this. I'm listening to the track. I'm having a hard time turning it off. Sherry peaked September 1st, 1962. I remember it, my distant memory. At the time, I was 9. Now you know exactly how old I am. But I'm not lying, and I'm not trying to protect myself. You know, that's one of the funny things. You know, people give you shit for getting older. And as you get older, you realize in other societies, you know, they revere the elders. They've been through things. They've had experience. No. We want our acts 13 years old. We want them prepubescent. You know, if you're 25, you're too old. What do you know, old man? It's utterly amazing. When you get to the other side, you realize, you know, it's different because there used to be a generation gap. You know, my parents, they didn't really know what was going on. Not today's parents, baby boomers, and even younger Generation X. They know what's going on, but no, they're too old. They're too old. But I had a transistor. That was one of the big, you know, now you get an iPhone, okay? Before it was getting your own transistor in its own little leather case. Primarily, I listened to the baseball games. My parents used to come turn it off as I was listening to the West Coast games, falling asleep in my bedroom in Fairfield, Connecticut. I remember hearing Sherry, but I really got into the Four Seasons with this next cut. Now we have clarity. Back in the days, you couldn't really hear that the girl was 6'5". It plays as a novelty track. And my mother bought the record. I remember buying comedy records, Rough and Ready. I think I've talked about that before. But when it comes to 45s, my mother had the albums from the show tunes. We used to play them on sunny, rainy Sunday afternoons. You know that song, Raining on Sunday? There's a cover by Keith Urban. Really good. Track that down. That's got nothing to do with anything, but it's a great track. But, you know, back in the East Coast, when it rained, you'd be playing the show tunes. And, you know, and you listen to My Fair Lady. I remember hearing With a Little Bit of Luck and Oklahoma. But my mother became fascinated by these tracks. And I remember buying a Purple People Eater and Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny. But I remember coming back from New York. I grew up about 50 miles from New York. With this single, Big Girls Don't Cry. She could not stop playing it. It cracked her up. And of course, I knew every lick. Having a hard time not clapping. I don't want you to hear it on the podcast. You really get into the groove. Now listen to this. I was giving you some of the dates. That was a number one record for 3 weeks. Big Girls Don't Cry was a number one record for 5 weeks, and Sherry was a number one record for 5 weeks. I could probably give you these statistics in a more coherent fashion. But I want to tell you is the brief window. Sherry was number one on 9/1/62. Big Girls Don't Cry, number one on 10/27/62. And Walk Like a Man was number one on 1/26/63. In today's market, you can't even work more than one track in that period of time. I discovered Walk Like a Man at the bowling alley. That was my number one favorite sport. It's hard to believe. You know, don't forget, at the time, there were only three networks, although if you live close to a metropolis, we had three independent stations. Saturday afternoon was a pro bowler tour, of course, in black and white because no one had a color TV. And Dick Weber was already past his prime. But we got really into bowling. I don't want to tell all the stories. My heart will break. Remember getting my own ball and polishing it at the lanes, but there was a whole ritual. You would bowl two strings. I think it was 35 cents a string. Or was that how expensive it got by the time I got out? And if you were lucky, if you begged your parents or if there was enough time or they gave you just enough money, you could bowl three strings. And after you were done bowling, you did two things. You polished your ball and you bought French fries. You had a quarter. You could buy French fries or you could buy a hot dog. I realize today it's totally different. You know, bowling, you buy and you eat simultaneously. And if it's a birthday party, they cover the gutters and they do, you know, the disco. No, this was straight ahead bowling. And before they oiled the lanes, you know, there's a big scandal in bowling now. To make it easier and the scores higher, they put a lot of oil on the lanes. I won't explain technologically how that works other than to say it creates a groove so it's easier for you to get the ball in the pocket. Speaking of bowling, are you a wee bowler? Is that phenomenal or what? You know, we have a PlayStation at home in order to play Rock Band, and you have the high def, whatever. But the Wii, Rock Band sucks on the Wii because there's none of going on tour and getting a bus and all that other stuff. You just get to play the songs. But the Wii bowling is almost as good as regular bowling. It's almost worth buying a Wii for. But I got really into bowling. That was like my number one sport at the time. Otherwise, I'd go to the JCC, play in the Biddy League, you know, play basketball in the winter. In the spring, I'd play a little softball down in Bridgeport at Seaside Park. If you know what I'm talking about, your memories are going wild. If you don't, you can Google. That's what it's for. And I Googled the bowling alley, which still exists. It was supposed to be 60 lanes, but it was 40 lanes. Nutmeg Bowl. And I just realized there was a bowling alley closer to my house that burned down. And my parents were talking about it, that it was a successful fire. It was duck pin bowling, which is a smaller ball and smaller pins. There were three types of bowling. In the Boston area, it was candle pin bowling. And then there was duck pin bowling. And the regular 10 pin was coming in. With the big ball. There's another name for it. It's eluding me at this point. And the alleyway closest to our house where you could actually walk burned down. Reality, it could never make it. So and there's one of those ubiquitous strip centers there today. But the other thing you did while you waited for your parents to pick you up, long before cell phones, you had to have an appointed hour, although occasionally you would call them from the payphone. Can't even find a payphone anymore, is you would listen to the songs on the jukebox. That is where I first heard Walk Like a Man. It's a memory like it literally happened yesterday. But what I remember more is this other song, which stunningly only went to number three. A year later, peaked in, 64. And now that I'm looking at my Joel Whitburn book, as I say, I think those are the peak dates. Whatever, these songs came in rapid succession. But this is the track that drove me wild at the bowling alley.
Pretty as a midsummer's morn, they call her Dawn. Dawn, no way, I'm no good for you.
Hang on to him.
Now, if that isn't a masterpiece, you have to understand this happened simultaneous with the Beatles breaking and Don't Go Away. And it was a weird thing because you were making the transition from American music to English music. And then all the British invasion bands came. And for a while, they coexisted. Actually, the Beatles killed just about all the American acts. The Beach Boys, who I got into next, had a longer run. And, of course, I got into them at the bowling alley also. But the way that song starts, you know, pretty as a midsummer's morn. And then it just kicks. And, of course, for a song that's so negative, it sounds incredibly optimistic. Of course, he then does say that he wants her to stay. This just blew my mind. I had to buy this record. Now, this was not the first track I bought, first record I bought. I remember buying with my own money the Randells' The Martian Hop. Either you know that track or you don't. That's another podcast. This could have been the second record I ever bought. I played it till the 45 turned gray. Of course, the tone arms of that day were heavy as a Mack truck. But just dropped the needle again and again and again. And was single-handedly keeping me in the American music camp. And when I play these records, it's hard to take them off because they have an exuberance without being mindless. But the apotheosis, the circling of the wagons to say, hey, this is great shit, came next. Well, Ronnie came next, but that only hit number six. Then there became the ubiquitous record that everybody knows. This is The Four Seasons. This is the track everybody remembers. Not my favorite. I love it. I bought this single too. I bought Don't Go Away, I bought Ronnie, and I bought this, of course, Ragdoll. Intensity with which Frankie Valli sings those words we just heard, and in the previous verse, hand me downs. It's like, yeah, she was a rag doll. We got to help her out, you know, but she was really great underneath. Wow. This record was a monster. It was number one for 2 weeks in the summer of 64. And that was it. There were hits after this, but they were jokes. We were totally into the English stuff, the British invasion. You know, ultimately, a year and a half later, Let's Hang On hit, and then Working My Way Back to You a few months after. Although those were hits, our mind was elsewhere. The Four Seasons were some earlier era, and the tracks were not good enough. They were not the masterpieces. They were trifles, where the earlier songs were miniatures. You know, they were like all those other death songs and other novelty songs of the late 50s and 60s, kicked up. I was going to say another notch. It's like four more notches. And I'm looking at this Whitburn book as I sit here, and I said, shit, I remember that that track being on Phillips. I remember a little part of the record breaking off. I didn't do it. Obviously, one of my sisters, I didn't let him play my records. But I said, that was on Phillips. But I was looking at Sherry's VJ. I said, my mind says Phillips. And I look at, of course, they were all VJ Until Dawn. That was Phillips, and Ragdoll and Ronnie were Phillips. It's like, fuck, I'm right. I can't believe it. I remember that second introducing the Beatles album. You know, that was on VJ, but those Four Seasons tracks were on Phillips. That's how much these records meant to me. And now I'm going to drift off in the distance. I'm not going to play the later tracks because it's really about this one period. Okay, I could even go further and say it's like Dylan. You know, he did that great track for the Wonder Boys, but Modern Times. No. Did it stop sometime in the 70s? I heard Tangled Up in Blue, even a cover the other day. Knock my socks off. And as I go off in a musical reverie, till next time, it's Bob Lefsetz for the RhinoCast.
You've just listened to a Rhino.com podcast. Visit Rhino.com for music, movies, and all kinds of crazy shit.